Well, this is truly a joyous time of year, and I hesitated to air this commentary today because it casts a rather dark light on what should be a bright time of year. But I decided to interrupt our celebration with some things we all need to hear. Tomorrow, we move into a new year. The question is whether or not we will make it a better year. And is it too late to matter? 2018 saw a further decline in America's values. More greed, more corruption, more people turning away from God. I could cite some dry statistics for you today, but plenty of other people have done that. I'm going to give you the perspective of a 76-year-old who has seen a great deal of change, some of it for the better, most of it for the worst. I'm going to share what has led to my negativity concerning the current state of affairs in America. Mass shootings and drive-by shootings are so commonplace as to be discussed with barely a nod. 10 people dead, 16 injured. Pass the potatoes, please. Unfortunately, Americans are not only desensitized to the horrors of violence and death, we are entertained by it. Hollywood cranks out a never-ending line of movies to glorify violence and sex. A look at the new shows coming to our TV screens in 2019 shows an increasing number of shows featuring extreme violence. Our children are exposed to this daily, and they become desensitized to it. Democrats have swung so far out into the socialist fantasy land that we have to be careful of everything we say or do. Literally everything is deemed offensive. At present, there is a group of misfits emailing country radio stations demanding that they not play any music recorded by country legend Waylon Jennings. Why? Well, they took the song Luckenbach, Texas that Jennings recorded and picked out the phrase firm-feeling women to demonize. Apparently, that should be offensive to any woman who's overweight and not so firm-feeling. Have they ever considered that to the man who wrote the song, pudgy-feeling women are offensive? Is there no end to our ignorance? It would take forever to list all the songs that someone could dissect and reveal words or phrases that someone would find offensive. In the 60s, Joe Tex had a hit song with "If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life, Make an Ugly Woman Your Wife." Surely ugly women would find that offensive, so let's ban it. The greatest holiday song of all time is White Christmas by Bing Crosby. White Christmas. Many have claimed that to be offensive, but the song speaks to snow, not racism. The truth is that we have people in this country who find fault with everything. To them, protesting is their job. If we allow these self-appointed thought police to continue banning words for our language, we will soon have to speak in sign language and then only with selected signs. This year, the demand was made to make Santa Claus gender neutral. Santa can't be a man or a woman, just an it. I'm sure that makes those who choose to be an it happy, but the truth is that the argument is over something that's not even exist. We have many great problems to overcome in 2019, but we are so mired down by people who want to argue about which Kardashian is richer while our version of Rome burns. Our politicians are bought and paid for. They should be forced to wear the names of their contributors on their suits like the ads printed on race cars. How can politicians properly serve the people when they are beholden to wealthy benefactors and corporations who donate massive amounts of money to keep them in office? It's rare to find a politician who did not get wealthy while in office. Not just wealthy, but filthy wealthy. This happens on both sides of the aisle, and that is the greatest reason to have term limits. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are very rich, and they live behind gated walls, while they deny the people the wall needed on the Mexican border to protect our security. How else could someone with Nancy Pelosi's ill-mannered mouth become rich, if not in politics? We will never get term limits on Congress, because those in power have built nearly impenetrable walls around their offices. Housing costs are still out of control. One must mortgage away many decades of one's life to buy a house that's too large and too expensive. Small, modest homes could be purchased for much less money, but they would meet with dissatisfaction of city ordinances and neighbors. It's a big, fancy house in many cases, or nothing at all. The alternative is sky-high rent on an apartment. Gone are the days of affordable rent. A livable wage is not high on the political agenda either. Meanwhile, more and more people are being pushed out onto the streets. A college education has gone completely into the stratosphere with its exorbitant cost. It's unbelievable. A textbook, mass-produced, can cost several $100s, and full-time tuition for a single semester well into the thousands of dollars. As late as the 1980s, college costs were very high, but still affordable. Young people today are exiting universities, not necessarily graduating, with many thousands of dollars in debt. I would add that we need to stop housing students in luxury apartments while they attend college. Living in an efficiency or a dormitory is good for them. It builds character to live simply and humbly while going through school. Even upon graduating, most students have depressingly low chances of landing jobs in their chosen fields. Competition is greater than ever, and jobs have been disappearing. Young people become depressed. They become sarcastic and prematurely cynical. This generation is yet another that promises to perform more poorly, save less money, have less opportunity, and be more dysfunctional than their parents and grandparents. And the politicians who should care and need to do something about it don't seem to care at all. Certainly not by their actions. Greed rules. The oligarchy reigns. From the far left, politicians like Bernie Sanders call for free college educations for everyone, without any attention to the enormous costs upon a nation already some $21 trillion in debt and barely able to pay the interest. I don't see the value of college for the average ordinary student. College is obviously the route to go if someone plans to be a doctor, a lawyer, or several other fields of work, but in many cases a trade school is a better option and keeps you out of debt. Jobs for plumbers and welders and electricians and the like are not being farmed out overseas, as has happened with many of our factory jobs. Getting everybody a free college education will not solve our problems if jobs are not available for them. On my recent visit to Cuba, I found many people unemployed who had two or even three college degrees, because they'd been given a free college education, but they found no jobs when they graduated. Communism rules in Cuba, and citizens are restricted from finding a job niche for themselves. They can't just go out and open a restaurant or a gas station. Government controls everything, and government has no jobs for these poor people. In the liberal politicians of the Democratic Party, they prevail in their open quest for socialism in America. If we allow it, the decline of our country would then accelerate. U.S. companies relocate to other corners of the world in order to pay their employees very little and government encourages it. Good employment opportunities domestically are shrinking. Many people who would have formerly held these jobs are forced into the only careers available to them. Retail, restaurants, and other service jobs where the pay does not meet their needs. While unions were desperately needed at one time in America, their demands got out of control, demanding ever higher pay and benefits, even in sectors that were no longer profitable. The employers then were forced to relocate out of the country. Unions are partly to blame for the condition we see our country in today. America's infrastructure is crumbling right before our eyes. Our streets and roads aren't built to withstand the burgeoning population. Bridges are a nightmare, old and deteriorated as they are, and in need of expensive care. Greed has driven health care costs beyond affordability. I think what disturbs me most, and should disturb you, is the complete unwillingness of our two major political parties to work together for the good of the nation. The fault lies on both sides. Just a few decades ago, we had some caring, if opinionated, politicians who went to the table with honest intentions of compromising and reaching a solution to our problems. Now we have a complete unwillingness to cooperate, even going so far as to refuse to allow the other party to put judges on the Supreme Court. This hateful divide hurts everybody. Additionally, we have tactics and tricks like gerrymandering to plague us. As 2018 drew to a close, we found Nancy Pelosi as incoming chair of the House and Chuck Schumer as minority head of the Senate, steadfastly denying the president's request for $5 billion to continue progress on the wall on our southern border. These are the same Democrats who in the past voted for the wall and called for it to be built. Today, their hate for Donald Trump and his upset victory over their candidate, Hillary Clinton, puts our national security at risk. These are the same Democrats who remained silent as Barack Hussein Obama gave Iran some more than $1.7 billion as he was leaving office. The total cost of the wall between the United States and Mexico is somewhere between $21 and $40 billion. Trump is asking Congress for $5 billion to continue building the wall. But think about that. Even if the wall were to ultimately cost $50 billion, and that's a stretch, that would be less than one-third of the money Obama gave to Iran. Moreover, the money saved from having to support illegal immigration would more than pay for the wall in a few short years, and the wall would still be standing. We have a band of illegal aliens camped out just across our border in the Mexican city of Tijuana, threatening to crash the border. They've already tried that once, dragging young children into the face of danger and hurling rocks at our border patrolmen. They were repelled through the use of tear gas, and that set the liberals, Democrats, and open border proponents on fire. They didn't place blame on the invaders or the women who rushed infants into the tear gas haze in order to gain sympathy from TV pictures and fake news commentary. They blamed the president for using tear gas. None of them complained in the many times in the past when Barack Hussein Obama ordered tear gas and pepper spray to be used on illegal aliens trying to crash their way into America. The hypocrisy of Pelosi and Schumer is on full display, and anybody supporting these two scoundrels should be ashamed of themselves. There is no question that America is collapsing right now, And there is precious little at this point that anybody can do to stop it. Nothing we do is remotely sustainable. Obviously not our economy. We have no patience or foresight for anything other than instant gratification, let alone context, nuance, or subtlety. We cannot tolerate truth, fact, or reality. We lash out at those things like a frightened cat. We have turned everything into a cheap, disposable commodity, even art, education, and spirituality, even each other. We can't even fix a bridge anymore, for reasons more political than practical. Our entire government is chocked full of criminals looting the store. On the one side, we have the parasites who expect to be supported by taxpayers, and on the other side, we have people cheating on their taxes. We can't vote the bums out of Congress because our elections are so thoroughly rigged and our electorate is no more functional than the morons it chooses to represent it. We lionize our demons and demonize our lions. We freely give all of the power to the very worst among us and tell ourselves that in their ruthlessness, they've earned it. And we tell ourselves that all of this is good, that it is righteous. We are 100 times more concerned about being politically correct than how much poison we've consumed or how many children we slaughtered in Planned Parenthood death shops this week. We've turned the fall of Rome into our bucket list, right down to the lead poisoning. We're doing everything we possibly can to destroy ourselves, and yet, in our arrogance, very few of us even see it. The biggest problem now is the people itself, which is the most difficult to change of all. Major national problems in the past were solved because there was a shared religion and similar moral values. All of that has changed. There is no shared culture now. Americans are lazy and morally corrupt. Not everyone, obviously, but enough of us to continue the decline of society. Now Americans are working for welfare queens to reproduce, for able-bodied people to claim disability, and for Americans to be put down all around the world. The Muslim community's collective goal has been quite effective. America has spent trillions of dollars in Afghanistan and Iraq and tried to rebuild those communities, only to see those Muslims kill their own people, kill Americans there to help them, destroy everything that we built for them, and mass-produce for the collective Muslim goal for Islam to conquer the world. Even at this joyous time of year, it's important to be reminded of the dangers we face. Is all lost? Well, that depends upon each of us. Collectively, we can change the direction. But the deck is stacked against us, and ironically, we stacked the deck ourselves. No one can predict what 2019 will bring with it. My predictions are that China will eventually agree to a more equal trade policy with the United States, unless the Socialist Democrats are successful in forcing President Trump to give up the long term for a short-term victory. I hope I'm wrong, but while President Trump will have my vote for re-election, I believe that the steady fake news media's drumbeat against him will make it difficult to be reelected. The alternatives offered to us by Democrats are people like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, and the ever-rebounding and despicable Hillary Clinton. If that does not scare you, take a look at your children and then think again. Through all of this, I'm asked if I'm not scared of the future. The answer is that if I did not believe in God and Jesus Christ, I'd be petrified. But I am able to take comfort in the fact that they are real, that they are ultimately in control. And even though we walk through the valley of death, we need not be afraid. I hope all of you had a joyous Christmas with your family and friends, and that the new year will bring with it a firm resolution of change, not just to lose a little weight. Happy New Year, and may God continue to bless America.